Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ein Dalad. So we got to the last three lines of Ein Gimel Mebez. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Hazora, Habore, Vatochen, Hamrakid, winnowing, separating, grinding, and sifting. So asks the Gemara, Hainu Zora, Hainu Bore, Hainu Merakid. These are three different ways of accomplishing the same thing, three different ways of separating. Zora is winnowing with the air, and Bore is separating with usually your hands or some type of kli. Merakid is sifting. So why separate them as three different malachos? So the Gemara says, Abai, Rava, Damri, Tervai, both of them say, Kol Milsa, Dehavi, B'Mishkan, anything that took place in the Mishkan, Af, Agav, Dika, D'Damilai, even though there was a similar act, similar to it, Chashavlai, it's considered an independent Av Melachas. So even though Bore, Merak, and Zora all accomplished similar things and are all similar to each other, still since they were done as separate acts, separate stages of Sidur Debas, they're counted as three separate Melachas. So Gemara says, if that's the case, lichshuv nami kotesh, why not include kotesh, some type of crushing and grinding? Why is that not something separate? Rashi explains two lines down on Ayin Dalet, the lichshuv nami kotesh, chitin b'machteshes lahasya klipasin, you would crush it in some way to remove the kernels, the wheat kernels from the shells, the havi b'mikdash b'simimanim, when they make the simimanim, the different dyes, they use this in the mikdash, is it not because the stage of kodesh, the malach of kodesh, is similar to that of dash, which is removing something from its shell? Lo chashev lei, wasn't considered a separate malacha. Dehanami mifrikei malbush, he would remove the outer clothing, the outer shell. So just like kodesh isn't a separate malacha, it's part of dash, so too zoreh, borer, and merak, it should be one. So the Gemara says, Amar Bai, Bai says, Shekein ani ochel pito beloktisha. Because an ani will eat its bread without kodesh. Kodesh is not a essential malacha, as opposed to borer, zorer, merakid. Each of them are considered essential, and therefore it was those were included, but not kodesh. Rashi just explains here: shekein ani ochel pita below kedisha lechach afagav dehavi b'mikdash. Even though it was in the mikdash, v'av malachi, and it is still av malacha, came the tani le'dash lo tanila. So it is considered a av malacha, which itself is quite interesting. And Rashi goes on to in this long Rashi, I'm not reading the whole thing. At the end, he repeats again that kodesh is an av malacha. It's just included in dash. So you have something interesting where you could have an av malacha included within another av malacha. What that means, Rashi doesn't really explain. Does that mean if one violates does kodesh and dash is chayv two separate chatos, there's two separate avos, we just didn't count it as one of them? Rashi doesn't elaborate any further. Gemara then says, according to Rava, however, three lines down, Rava Amar, Hamani, who is the author of this? It must be Rebihi. Damar, avos malachos arboim chaser achas, 40 minus 139. Vi chashiv kodesh, Havilei Arbam, it's going to be a total of 40. So we're just limited. We're kind of, our hands are tied, and therefore it has to be 39 only. We just couldn't figure, we found 39 malachas that were good. This also took place, but we were capped. There's a cap. What was the cap? Because the Gemara told us a couple days ago that Rebbe learned out from, if you look at Rashi, he quotes Rebbe, the Yalof Lekaman Beperek HaZorik Dvarm HaDvarim Eila HaDvarim Leminyana, that Eila is Gematria 36, Ha, Dvarim is 2, Ha is another 1, so 36 plus 2 plus 1 is 39, so he was capped off, he already found 39, a kodesh should have been there as well, it should have been, we couldn't fit it anymore. So the Gemara says that, V'leipik chad mehanach v'layel kodesh, so why not take out one of the other ones and include kodesh? So Gemara says, Ella mechavrasa kedabai. Since we're not sure which ones to include, which ones not to include, the reason is not because we were capped because of a limit of numbers, rather it must be because of a baye, that kodesh is not considered significant enough, although it took place in the Mishkan, has to be a significant stage, and since aniyim eat their bread without kodesh, it wasn't included as one of the avos malachos. Gemara then says, Tanu Rabbanan. Hayu lufanav minei ochen borer v'ochel borer u'miniach v'lo yivra vim birer chayv chatas. Unclear what that means, but just literally means someone has two foods in front of him, and he separates and eats, he separates and leaves, you don't do it, but if you do it, you're chayv chatas. What exactly is this talking about? The Gemara is going to make four or five attempts to explain what's going on. This is talking about the dinim of borer. It's important to know that the first question, borer is probably one of the most challenging malachos to understand, and perhaps one of the most common ones that come up. But the very first question of Bore has to be when there's a mixture. There is no mixture, there's nothing to talk about. So when the Brayta says, Hayu lefanava minei ochlin, the different types of foods, it's not just that they're in front of you, there's an apple here and an orange here, it has to be where there's a mixture. If there is no mixture, there's not even a shaila. So that's why we'll see later on, one of the terim is if you throw things, if you undo the mixture, and then you could separate, because separating is only when the mixture exists. But when the mixture doesn't exist, there is no problem at all in terms of separating. Now, part of the challenge is defining what's considered a different min. How do you define different minim? So dark meat and white meat are considered different minim. Perhaps big pieces, small pieces, a discussion in the poskim. Interesting discussion. Let's say there's something that is usher to you. Is that considered borer? It's mutter, it's edible food, but just usher to you. Is that considered usher? So the Magen Avraham actually thinks if you have something edible, like a gidon asher, although it's usher to eat, he does not think that's considered psolus. The way Bora works, as we'll see, is taking ochel mitoch psolus. What's considered ochel? What's mitoch psolus? So if something is really edible, but just usher, that the Magen Avraham doesn't think would be a violation of Bora. But there's an interesting discussion, something that I don't like. If it's something that's edible, I just don't like it, is that considered psolus? And according to the Prima Gadim, that is psolus. If I don't like it, that's called psolus. While the Magen Mishnah argued and says, no, if since I could, in theory, eat it, granted, I did chak, but still, since it's something I would, in theory, have to or be able to eat, that is not considered psolus. It doesn't go based on what I like or not. We paskin that it does go based on what people like. So let's go through the Gemara and understand what was this cryptic Bryce telling us. So Mike, Amar, the Gemara says, what was it saying? Amar Ula, Ula says, Hachi Kamar. Borer v'ochel libo bayom, uborer maniach libo bayom, ulmachar. So a person could eat it to eat that day. Again, a borer v'ochel libo bayom, that's allowed. Borer umaniach libabayom, a person to leave it for that day, ulamacha lo yivra, a person shouldn't do so. V'im birer chayiv chatas, a person does go ahead and do this, he would be violating a chayiv chatas. So if you just look at, so Gemara says, wait a second, maskele rav achista v'chimutter lafos libabayom, v'chimutter levasher libabayom, are you allowed to eat for that day? You could bake and cook for that day. Since when is the Boba Yom on that day? If you're doing lacha for the day, it's allowed. So Boba is allowed for that day. So you're telling me you could cook and bake for that day? That's certainly not the case. So that can't be the explanation. El Amar Rav Chista, Boba Ochel, Pachos Mikashir, Boba Maniach, Pachos Mikashir. A person is allowed to separate and eat if it's less than the shear. He could separate it and leave it over if it's less than the shear. We'll look at Rashi in just a moment. Ukshir, if a person does this with the shear borer of a gogeres, lo yivra, one should not do it. Bir, if one does do so, he would be in fact chayiv echatas. Take a look at Rashi. Before Rashi, let's go ahead and Gemara says, wait a second. Maskiv la Rav Yosef, v'chimotir lafos pachos mekashir. So that means any time less than the shear, you're allowed to bake. Is that really allowed? You could bake best less than a shear. Says Rashi, v'chimutter la'afos ulvashu liboba yom, v'hachanami ab-malachi, came into Amrits ulmachar chayiv chatas. Sorry, wrong Rashi. V'chimutter la'afos pachas mikashir, nehi dechiv chatas leka, isur mihaika. Granted, less than a shear, you're not chayiv chatas, but there still is an isur, the kaimolon, chati shear asur min ha-Torah, v'perek basa diyoma, v'heicha ketani boru l'chachila. How are you allowed to do boru l'chachila? It's still asur min ha-Torah, it's chati shear asur min ha-Torah. So there is an interesting, this Rashi is very interesting because there is a discussion amongst the Acharonim, the Chacham Tzvi talks about this, when we have the concept of Chati Shir Asur Torah, the context of that is with respect to Isser of Echilo and Yom HaKippurim, with respect to Isser Echilo. So the Chacham Tzvi thinks that the Chati Shir is only something that's Asur in the context of Isser Echilo. But by Shari, from other types of Isurim, he thinks it would not be subject to Chati Shir. He gives examples of if a Nazir pulls out two hairs, he's Chayiv, but if he only pulls out one hair, there is no Isser, because it's Chati Shir, and it's not in the context of eating. So too, when it comes to certain Malachas, when a person separates, a person carries on Shabbos, there is no concept of Chati Shir Asur Min HaTorah. That's the Chacham Tzvi. But the Mishnah Melech says, what do you mean? This Rashi clearly says that Chati Shir Asur Min HaTorah even by Shar items, Shar Yisrim. Borer isn't unique to food. We typically think of Borer being something regarding food, but it applies to cars. It applies to even non-food items. And it has nothing to do with eating. It could be on food. It could be a non-food. But yet Rashi clearly says there is an Isur of Chati Shir Asur Min HaTorah even by Shar Yisrim. So that seems to be against the Shita of the Chacham Tzvi. And some Achronim try to figure out how the Chacham Tzvi would defend himself up against this particular Rashi. Okay, so the Gemara then says, the Prima Gadim also, by the way, has interesting discussion when it comes to Basar V'Chalav, if there's an Isser of cooking and getting Hana from Basar V'Chalav Chatishir. By eating Basar V'Chalav Chatishir, that's certainly Aser. Everyone agrees, Chatishir Aser Metar by Achila. So eating Basar V'Chalav less than a shear is Aser. But what if a person were to cook or get Hana from a Chati Shir, a Blessed Mechalva, that would be subject to the same discussion of this Chacham Tzvi versus the Rashi. Rashi would say, of course it would apply. Any Yisr is subject to Chati Shir. Of course you couldn't cook less than a Shir of Blessed Mechalva. You couldn't get Hana from less than a Shir of Blessed Mechalva. Well, the Chacham Tzvi would say that, no, one would be allowed to, perhaps, do this Pachas Mekashir. Now, I would add, maybe even the Chacham Tzvi would think it's Aser to be mevashel basa b'chalav pachas mikasher. Even though bishel isn't an isra achila, it's stam cooking, it's cooking food. But since there is a kesem mishnah that says the bishel isra bishel basa b'chalav is a siyag mideraisa, it's a fence lest you come to eat it. Maybe in that case, bishel is considered a outgrowth of the eating, the achila basa b'chalav, and therefore, just like achila is asa pachas mikasher, bishel would also be asa chati shir according to the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, the Gemara now says further that we're still trying to figure out this brisa, which is quite cryptic. So El Amar of Yosef, around halfway down the Amar, Amar of Yosef, Borer ve'ochel b'yad, a person may choose and select with his hand, and Borer minyach b'yad, he could select and leave it with his hand. But the Karna v'tampoi, a person uses some type of instrument, lo yivur v'im b'ir pater, if a person uses a type of instrument, he shouldn't do, but if you do so, it's only pater. Aval Aser, Rashi explains it's some type of funnel, the Kanon, some type of funnel. It separates things. It's not like a classic separator, but you can use it to separate. It's using an instrument. It's not using your hand. Aval Vim Bir Pater Val Aser, Ubinafu Bekivra, a sifter, which is a specialized utensil, Lo Yivra, one should not do. Vim Bir Chayv Chatas, one would be Chayv Chatas. So we see there are three different levels. Beyad, using one hand, is Mutter. Using a instrument, but not a specialized instrument, would be Pater Val Aser. And using a specialized instrument for selecting would be a Chayv Chatas. So then the Gemara says, really, Maskler of Avnuna, Mide Karan V'tamcha Katani? We look back at the Braisa. Granted, it was quite ambiguous, but didn't mention anything about a Karan V'tamcha, instruments or non-instruments. So how are we able to try to stick those words into the Braisa? So Ella Amar Avnuna, Avnuna says, Bor V'ochel, Ochel Mitoch Psolas. What it means is, when can you select? When you're taking the food out from the Psolas, that would be allowed. Bor Miniach, also Ochel Mitoch Psolas. If you're separating to leave, as long as you take the food from the Psolas, that's allowed as well. But psolas mitoch ochel, taking the bad from the good, lo yivra, one should not select v'im bir, if one does so, he's chay v'chatas. So the Gemara says the same question. Rav Hamnuna just asked the question of Yosef. Now he's being challenged with the same question. Maskev l'Rav Abaye. Abaye says, mide ochel mitoch psolas katani. Does the Bais above say anything about food from waste? El Amar Abaye says, borer v'ochel l'alter. You may eat and separate and eat immediately. Borer miniach l'alter, you could separate and leave it for immediate use. Ulibaba yom, but if it's for that day, later that day, but not immediate, lo yivra, one should not do. Vim bir, if he does select to leave it over, nase kibor l'alter, it's as if he's separating to store away. V'chayv chatas, one would be chayv chatas. And Amru, Rabbanan said, Kame Dirava, Amru Lahu Shapir, Amru Nachmani, Nachmani, which is a way they refer to Abaye, he says, correct, and therefore, this is the understanding, if it's La'alter, it's permitted, and if it's for later on, it would be Aser. How does one define La'alter? La'alter is that immediate for the use, right before you eat it. But let's say you're preparing a meal, you're preparing the Suda, what's considered La'alter? So the understanding of the postgame is, however long it takes you to prepare the meal, let's say it takes an hour to prepare lunch. A lunch, a Shabbos Suda is 12 o'clock, and it typically takes you from 11 to 12 to prepare the food, so you could already start separating things you need to eat at 11 o'clock. Within that hour, within the normal time frame of preparing, that's considered La'alter. Now, there is an interesting machlokas amongst the postgame, whether La'alter applies to the other melachos as well. The Rajba understands that la'alter is a heter that applies to tochen. If you want to grind, you want to cut things up small, so if you do la'alter right before you eat, right before the suda, that would be allowed as well, and the Darach Moshe brings this down la'halacha. Now, regarding other melachos outside of tochen and borer, the Taz actually thinks that this is true of all the melachos too. So let's say you want to have a cookie's a big discussion, and there's some letters, some words on the cookie, and if you eat it, it's considered mechika, that's a discussion. Are you allowed to or not allowed to? There's a Mordechai about this, but the Taz says you're allowed to, because since it's la'alter, right before you're eating, that's just like borer and just like tochem. The Chazni says, no, la'alter is something that we only apply to preparations that are classic for food, like tochen and borer, but to apply it to mechika with nothing to do with food, granted, this particular case of eating a cookie does have to do with food, but mechika isn't a melacha regarding food. La'alter is only heter for food melachas. So typically, the way it's understood is that we apply la'alter to bor. That's certainly true. That has to be one of the requirements, number one. And in regards to tochen, we use it as an opportunity to be makeh, but still, we suggest when people have to grind or cut things up, we say, don't make things too small, as we'll see in Amud Beis, but we do use la'alter as one of the heterim. So in the end of the day, when it comes to borer, the way it has to be, they have to have three things present to allow for borer has to be ochel mitoch psolos, a combination of the things we said above. It has to be food from the waste, has to also be la'alter, immediate use, and has to be biyad with your hand. Those three things, biyad, miyad, and ochel mitoch psolos. And if you do all those three, then borer is entirely permitted. Now, in terms of defining yad, what's considered a hand? Does it have to use my hand? What about a fork? What about a spoon? Is that considered an extension of my hand? So Moshe has a tshuva whereby he says a fork and a spoon is considered an extension of the hand as long as it's not allowing the things to separate easier. Meaning if you were using the fork just because you don't want to get dirty, you have chulin, let's say, you want to take out a potato, so you put a fork to take the potato out. So that's not because the fork makes it easier to separate. It's because you don't want to get dirty. It's because some other reason. So the Ramosha says you have to understand if the instrument, the utensil that you're using makes the borer easier, then it'll be awesome. If you're just doing it in order to avoid you from getting dirty, or he says you don't want to get dirty, or because maybe the food is too far and you can reach it easier, or maybe because it's simply wet, it's something, it's a liquid, and you just couldn't pick it up without the fork, without the spoon. Those are areas where it's not because it's allowing you to separate. That would be considered an extension of your hand and would be included in the heter of biyad. Gemara now says, we are towards the bottom of Ayin, Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin. The person has two items in front of him, and ubira v'achel bir v'niach. He picks up to eat, and he picks up to leave down. So the Gemara says that Ravashi masi pater, this is pater, because we said if you, at least you do biyad, miyad, and ochel mitoch psolos is permitted. Rabbi Yirmiyah medifti masi chayv. He thought that this price said chayv. Ravashi masi pater. Doesn't it say, so one case says Pater Val Aser, one case is Chayv. So what's the difference whether you're Pater Val Aser for separating versus Chayv? It depends what type of instrument you're using. If you're using a specialized instrument like enough of a kibra, some type of sifter, some type of sieve, that would be Chiv Chattas. If you're using an instrument that's not specialized, it would only be Pater Val Aser. The Gemara then says, Ki Aser Rav Dimi, Amar Shifta de Rav Bibi. The Shifta of Rav Bibi Rashi says, it was his turn to wait on the Talmidim, serving the Talmidim. So again, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Amar shifted to Rabbi Biba, the Rabbi Biba Hava, it was the week of Rabbi Biba to serve the Talmidim. V'kalav Rabbi Am Rabbi Asi, and Rabbi Am Rabbi Asi came to eat at the wherever they're eating, with Shabbos, Shadu Kamayo Kilkla Depiri, and he threw out a basket of fruit, and the fruit went rolling down the table. V'loyadana, they weren't sure, mishum desavar ocha mitoch psolos aser, if it's because even taking food from psolos is aser, meaning if you want an apple, he couldn't give you the apple, because even ochel mitoch psolos would be aser, or mishum ayin yafa hu demechavin, or perhaps because he thought it'd be a nicer way to give, just throw out the fruit. It's an abundance of fruit rolling down the table and choose what you want. Wasn't sure the reason for this. Rashi explains four lines up from the bottom here. V'shadu kamay v'laratu livro ha'ochel mitoch ha'olin. He didn't want to take the food from the leaves that were there. L'aseis l'fnei kol echav yachad. El shatchan, he spread them out. V'heim nolin v'ochel and let them take on their own. U'b'shituach zeh nifarish ha'ochel me'elav. When you just spread it out like that, it undoes the terovus. So like I said before, that if there's no mixture, there's nothing to talk about. So if you have, silverware, the silverware was all mixed together and you want to start separating the fork here, the knife here, so you can't do that. That's bora. But if you take the silver and you throw it across the table and everything is separate, where there's no longer a mixture, they're not, I don't say how to define a mixture exactly, but let's say, they're easily identifiable, that they're not touching each other, so you've undone the mixture, and now you can take the fork, you can take the knife, you can take the spoon, because it's no longer in the mixture. He had done something similar to that, and that's a heter of undoing a terovus to avoid any shilas of bora. If you're playing cards, or you need to separate the cards, so the way you do it is you kind of spread them out on the table, whereby the cards are all separate by themselves, and then there would not be a violation of a bora. Gemara now says last three lines of Amud Aleph here as follows: that Achitzki Amar Haborer Turmasim Mitoch Psolos Shelhen Chayv. A person who separates some type of bean from the psolos is chayv. So why you chayv? Lema Kisaver Achitzki Ochel Mitoch Psolos Aser. if you remove food from the psolas, it's also, we said that one of the ways you're allowed to do things is ochel mitoch psolas. If it's ochel mitoch psolas and biyad, that would be allowed. So unclear, there's a number of girsos here in Rashi how to read this next part of the Gemara. We'll just try to take one approach here. The Gemara says, shiny, turmusim are different. Why are turmusim different? The shalke le shivay zimne, it requires to cook it 7 different times in order to soften and sweeten the food. The lo shakli le misach, if we don't take it out, then it actually ruins it and it gets bad. Therefore, kipsolos mitoch ochel dami. Therefore, it's considered psolos from ochel. According to one Mishan Rashi, what's going on here is the kidneys, the beans, the food that's there, so long as it's there with the other psolos, it's actually called psolos itself. The beans, in order to make it ochel, requires to be cooked 7 times. So long as if you haven't cooked it, the beans are actually called psolos, it's called the waste. So therefore, taking the beans is actually considered psolos mitoch ochel. That's a unique case by this particular type of food. But again, take a look at Rashi, a little bit hard to understand each of the girsos, but there are a number of girsos and perushim to this particular line. So let's go back there now. The Gemara says at the top of Ayin Dal and Mabez, 2 lines down, Vatochen. Grinding is one of the Avos Malachos. So Amar Rapapa says, Haiman depars silk, a person who cuts, I think again this is radish, Chayv Mishim Tochen, when is Chayv Mishim Tochen for doing so? And because grinding up doesn't only mean using a mill, using a grinder, even cutting up food into small pieces would be a problem. If the large pieces is allowed, therefore when cutting on Shabbos, it's recommended cut them larger than you normally cut them on a weekday. If you're cutting avocado, you're cutting peppers or tomatoes, cut them slightly larger than one would normally cut them. So Amr of Menashe, Haiman de Salas Silta, person who cuts wood into small little pieces, is Chai Mishim Tochen. He's also Chai Mishim Tochen. It's not only by food. Grounding applies to other items as well. The E, Amr of Ash, Rashi says, E Kapadam Shechasa, if he's Makbid on the particular size of it, Rashi says, V Kapadam Shechasa, Lechotchen Bimida, to have an exact size that you're cutting it, Chai Mishim Mechatech, you add on another violation of Mechatech, of cutting that which is an exact shear. So Gemara, that we're going to pretty much the rest of the Gemara going to just give through different examples of malachos. It's a bit technical, but we'll go through it together. The Gemara says the halash ve'ofe, one who kneads, one who bakes, is also chayv. So Amar Papa shavak tana didan bishul simimanim v'avim b'mishkan v'nakin ofe tana didan sidur depasnakin. So our Mishnah, the Gemara points out that it leaves off bishul simimanim, that they'd make the dye, that they have to take everything, you know, grow the dye and separate the dye, and then they would eventually cook the dye in water. That's called bishul. Bishul is whenever you cook with water, but somehow our Mishnah removed bishul and included ofen. Now, ofen and bishul, baking is like baking bread without water, and bishul is cooking with water. So simanim, which is seems to be the melacha that was done in the Mishkan, according to Rashi at least, so bishul should have been used, not ofen. So the Gemara says, Einechanami, you're right, they use bread just to have Sidur Depas. Doesn't explain why they use Sidur Depas, but they wanted to go in the order of breaking bread, even though it wasn't the bread that was the model for the Melachos of Shabbos, rather it was the Bishul B'Simanim. Just remind ourselves that Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chana of Machlokas, what part of the Mishkan serves as a model for the Melachos of Shabbos? Rashi says, it was whatever was used to build the Mishkan. Simanim was used to dye the covers, and therefore it was the Bishul Simanim, but according to Rabbeinu Hanano and others, it was the avod in the Mishkan, like baking the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Apanim. So according to the Bavli, it sounds like they only choose to do the pas. I'm suggesting maybe it just helps a person remember much more. None of us really make a bishul b'simanim, so to help remember the order is perhaps harder for us to remember, but Sidur Depas, where we make bread, is something a little bit more available to us, so therefore Sidur Depas is an easy way to remember. But Eina Chanami, it was really bishul. Bishul is really the Avmalacha, because that's what they did. Simanim, Ofe is simply an outgrowth, Tolda, or perhaps just of equal playing field as bishul itself. So the Gemara then says as follows: Amr of Achabar, Rav Avira, Haiman Dishade Siksa Lasuna. Person who throws, Rashi says here, it's a dry type of a wet yasid, a wet peg into an oven, a hot oven, in order to dry it out, so the peg should be hard and perhaps usable. So one who does this, again, Man Dishade Sikasa, peg Lasuna, into a tunnel, into an oven, Chai Mishum Mivashal, he's subject to this or bishul because he's cooking the water that's there. Mivashal Pshita, of course. Why would you think otherwise? So Mal, the same way, what would you think? The Shure Mana Kamechavin. His intention is really to make a mana, perhaps a makam patish, and not because of bishul. And that's his kavana. Kamashalam, the Mirfei Rafe, farther coming, that since there are two different stages here. First, What happens is Rashi says the marfei rafei aydei chom haor, from the heat of the oven, hamayim shebesocha yotzin, the water that is that's embedded in the yosid comes out. Lachash yatu meimav kamit miskasha, then the peg becomes very hard. So initially, when it softens the peg, it's a bishul, and afterwards it hardens, it becomes gemar kli, becomes makbe patish. So these are two different things that are taking place here, and he has kavana for both of them. That's part of the process. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna Haiman de Arse Kufra, a person who boils up Kufra, you're not here to help me out. The definition, it's tar, I believe. So something like tar. So Chai Mishum Mivashel is Chai Mishum Mivashel. By hardening, by boiling the tar, you're Chai Mishum Mivashel. Pshita, of course, mal the same. What would you think? Came into Hadar, the Kushay Emalo. Since after you boil the tar and make it very soft, then immediately after it hardens again, perhaps one would think that it wouldn't be subject to Bishul because it quickly undoes whatever was accomplished by boiling it. Kamash Milan, nonetheless, one still violates the Isser of Bishul. Gemara says further, Amar Rava Haiman David Chavisa the Chai Mishum Sheva Chatal. It's one who makes a Chavis, some type of a barrel on Shabbos, is a Chai of seven different Melachos. So we can run through this one quickly. Rashi explains here around eight narrow lines up, Sheva Chatos. So it's a pottery pot or pottery jug we're referring to. Rashi says Sheva Chatos. Tochen Hargavin Shochen Hadak Havi Tochen. You first grind all the mud, the dirt into little pieces. That's Tochen. Ubara Hatros, and you take out the different pebbles. Hagas is the large pebbles. Mitochen Hari Shinats too. Mraktin Benafa, and then you sift it in the with Meraki. That's three. Megaval Hatit. You mix everything. Dehainu Lash. That's kneading. Memareach Hatit. Shosa Golem Sheyuchel Chalak Hari Memachig. You spread everything. You smooth everything out. That's another violation. Hamavirs Haorik Bekitchen. You light the fire. That's a Havara. Umitzar for Betocha. You put in the fire in the oven. Harei Mivasho. Now you're Chai Mivasho. That's seven different lachas for one who were to make a chavis out of pottery on Shabbos. The Gemara then says one who makes Tanura, Chai Mishim Shmoneh Chatas. If you build an oven on Shabbos, you chai eight different lachas. And Rashi goes through all of these. And he says pretty much the same thing as the chavis, but there's one added one here of Makbe Patish. There's a certain stage of completing the act. The Nigmar Melachto in an oven, that is considered Makbe Patish. That wouldn't be the case of chavis, because a chavis, that happens on its own. By it being in the oven, that Makbe Patish, you haven't done a Maisa, that just happens. But with respect to the oven, you need to fashion it out, and there'd be an additional Melach of Makbe Patish by an oven. So then the Gemara says, Amar Bai says, Haiman David Chalsa Chayv Achad Asrei Chatas. One who makes bread, Chala, on Shabbos, it violates 11 different lachas. That's Sidura de Pas. I'm sorry, not Chala, I'm sorry. Rashi says here, is Kaveres Shakadam, a basket made of reeds. You're chai for 11 different chatals. And Rashi goes through quickly. If you look at Rashi, three wide lines down, chai Yud Aleph. I think others say Chalas is referring to making Chala, the 11 stages of Sidura de Pas. If I remember correctly, I'm going to just look very, very quickly here, see if anyone does say that, but I could be entirely wrong. I don't see it, but I think it's certainly a possibility. But Rashi says it's referring to making some type of basket made of reeds. So what are the 11? Look at the Rashi, three wild lines down, Chayiv Yud Aleph. Zomer HaKadim V'hu Tzarech Lehem Chayiv Mishim Kotzer. You cut off the reeds, that's one, that's Kotzer. U'mishim Noteya, because also since you cut off the reeds, it helps plant, helps regrow that which remains. So that's Chayiv 2 right off the bat. Asam Yachud, you gather them together, that's Ma'amir we mentioned. Bir Yafos, you take the good ones, Harezeh Boer, Hichlikan, you smooth them out, Harezeh Memachik. Asan Dakos, you make them very small, Me'achat Shayim, you make one to two, or Shlosh, you make them to two or three, Harezeh Tochen, that's grinding. Echadchan Bemidi, you have exact measurements, Harezeh Mechadich, Hisich, Shtei Harezeh Mesich, you start to weave them, that's Mesich. And Arig Achas Lamala Achas Lamata, then you start to weave them even further. Kadei Lamido, Ose Shtei Bethinirim, that's the weaving, it's another lach of weaving. Arig, then you actually weave it together. Hareza Arig will get, again, I don't know what these different things mean. I guess we'll need Ricky to show us some models here. But as we'll learn through the Masech, we'll learn more intimately about Arig. But those are three malachas with regards to setting up the weaving and actually doing the weaving. And then Chatach Lacha Arigah, so that after you weave it, you have to cut off the ends, Kedei Lahashvasim, to make everything even, Harezeh Makbe Patish. That's Makbe Patish. Those are going to be 11 different Melachas. So then the Gemara says, now if the E Chayta, the Puma, if you're going to fix the ends so that you don't have little strings at the end after you cut it, you want to kind of tie them over like a stitching, Chayv Shalosh Esrei Chatas, you Chayv another two, totaling 13, you Chayv for Topher by sewing the end, and then kosher, then you tie the end of the knots together. That would be 13 for making a reed basket on Shabbos. Now, there are some other Rishonim who understand that differently about the counting of 11 and 13 malachos here, but this is just Rashi getting us through shot here. Gemara now says we are the last narrow line of the Gemara. Actually, one thing here, look at Tosas for a moment. Tosas on Chavisa, V'tanura, V'chalsa. Perish Rashi says, Mishim Bona. One of them is subject to Bona. Lo Mechayev De'ein Binin Mekalim. There's no Binin here, because when it comes to Kalim, things that are movable, things that are small objects, are not subject to Binin. Tosos takes issue, and Tosos says that the ain't near, that doesn't, I don't agree to this, the dafka be machzer mita u'menorah shel chulias are minat ain't binin became. Only things that are meant to take apart and put back together is not subject to binin. About kishos legame, kol kli, if you make an entire kli, mechai mishimbona. If you build a whole thing, you're building, let's say, Lego to last forever, that's considered a binin bekalim. Rashi argues, Rashi says no. By metalton, by movable objects, it's never subject to binin. Tosis says, no, if you're actually making something to stay, that will be considered binin. So that's an interesting machlokas by binin ustir v'kelim. Back inside the Gemara, the last narrow line down, hagozes et septemer v'amelabin, one who pulls out the wool, it's a violation of shearing, and one who whitens it. So Amar Rabba bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hatove et septemer shal gavi abehema v'shavis chayv shalosh chataos. A person who spins the wool on the back of an animal's chayv three different chataos. Achad mishim gozes, one is because he plucks the wool out of the body of the animal. Achad mishim menafes, one is he combs the wool to make it smooth. V'achad mishim tovin, one is because he spins it and makes it into thread. So those are three violations. And then the Gemara says that Rav Kana Amar ein derech gziza bekach, ein derech menafes bekach, ein derech tivay bekach. This is not correct. That's not the way people do things. And therefore, you don't do it while it's still on the animal's back and will not be subject to any of those three different isurim. So the Gemara says, "Lo, this is not the way." But doesn't the Brisa tell us as follows? Mishmei to Rabbi Nechemia, the name of Rabbi Nechemia, that shatuf beizim v'tavu beizim, that they would used to kind of wash and clean the wool of the goats while still connected, while still on the goat, and they'd also spin while it's still on the goat. So we see that the Brisa says that it was shayach to have spinning and preparing of it while still on the goat. Almash tivia agabi beimish mativia. Where it says, no, Chachma Yisera Shani, that was a Chachma Yisera, that was a special act. Most people don't do it in such a way, but that was a particular case. Rashi says, Chachma Yisera Kedichsi V'chol Isha Chachma's Lev, Aval Lehediot Ein Darcho V'kach Havi Klachayad. For special, highly professional, experienced people, they could sew things, they could spin things, rather, while it's connected to the goat, but that's not considered normal. As Tosas writes here, Chachma Yisera Shani, V'osim Osim, but Butla Daitam Etok Adam. Those who do it, Butla Daitam, they're considered Butla, they're not considered significant. Those are a unique group of people who are able to accomplish that, but that is not for the Hamun Am, and therefore would be considered Klach Hayad and not subject to any Chataos Aser, but not Chayv Chatas. So the Gemara then says five wide lines down, Tanur Rabbanan Hatolish is a Kanaf, one who plucks the feather from a wing of an animal, Vakomta Vamorto Chayv Shalosh Chataos. What are these things? So if you just will finish reading the Gemara, two more lines, we'll look at Rashi. Rama Rish Lakish, Tolish Chai Mishim Gozes, one who plucks out is Chai Mishim Gozes, Kotim is Chai Mishim Mechatech, and Memarit is Chai Mishim Memachech. So what are these different things? So I don't have the English to translate, but Rashi hopefully will be helpful. Rashi writes, Tolish is a Kanaf, notes a Gdola, Min Kanaf Ha'of, one takes out a big feather from the wing of an animal, a bird, Vakotmo, Lachash Atalsho, after you took it out the feather, Chotech Rosho, Shudak, Viroi Lanicha, Bikarbakasis, you clip the end of it, so it now is considered a good size to place in the pillow, and that would be considered b'chatech. And morto is letzad zanavo, towards the tail, shukash, it's very hard, morit, saro, b'kan, b'kan, you kind of scrape off the hair on each side, umashich hakana, you throw out the kana, v'nosein haser b'kar b'kaises, use the hair for putting into the pillows, so that would be smoothing it out, that would be b'machech. So these are three different yisurim that take place here. Just interesting discussion here. The Rishonim all point out that we typically think of removing a hair while the animal is alive, but what if the animal is dead? Is plucking out the feather of an animal after it died, would that be usur? And the Rishonim all say, the Ramban and the Ritva all say, even after the animal died, removing, plucking out a feather would be a violation of gozes. And that's the psak of the Taz as well. But the Orcha Shabbos and Rav Moshe point out, if the animal is cooked, you have a chicken wing at Shabbos, then you see some feathers, would that mean it's also to pull out the feathers? And they all say that, no, once the animal's been cooked, that would certainly be permitted. Rav Moshe's understanding is, once it's been cooked, it's as if the feather already has been plucked, and there is no problem at all taking out the feathers after it's been cooked. But if it hasn't yet been cooked, aside from questions of perhaps muksa, it would not be a violation of a chatas. Gemara then says, halfway down the wide lines of kosher, Ramatir, that these are also two melachas listed in the Mishnah. One cannot tie, one cannot untie. Kshira b'mishkan heicha havi. Where do you find Kshira in the Mishkan? We know that to find the source of any melacha, it has to have been done somehow in the building of the Mishkan. So where do you find that? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Shekein koshin b'yaseidos alim, they would, when they pitch the tent, they would have to tie, you know, put a peg in the ground in the sand, they tie a rope around the peg, and then that would be a kosher. So the Gemara says, Ahahu kosher amnaf lehatehu, that's a temporary kosher. To buy the kosher has to be a kosher shekayama. We'll learn later parak that the definition of a kosher shekayama, 24 hours, something that's permanent, something that's professional. But this is the type of knot wasn't professional, it wasn't long term, and therefore it's a kosher sheino kayama, and that's not a chayiv chatas. So when was the kosher done in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, which itself, by the way, is interesting, that because it sounds like Pashup Shah Olam was referring to the tents that they would sleep in, but and that wasn't part of the building of the Mishkan, that was a tent. So Rashi points out here, referring to Yisaidos HaMishkan. The Mishkan is also called an Ohel, Ohel Mishkan. Not sure why it's referred to Olim, but it sounds like from Rashi it's talking about the Ohel Mishkan, but it should be in the singular. So I didn't get a chance to look into this, but just if you have any thoughts on that, let me know, unless it is in fact referring to the actual Olim, the people's tents, but hard to understand that, because we've been talking about the Melechas Mishkan the entire time. So then the Gemara says, so where do you find kesher in the midbar? So Gemara says, Ela Amar Abaye Shekein Orge Yurios Shinifska Lehen Nima Koshin Oso. So when they would weave the different coverings, the different Yurios, the different cloths together, if a thread snapped, they tie it together. They tie it together. So again, I don't know much about this, but my understanding is you have to first make the threads. So after you have the thread, you set up in the weaving tool. And then afterwards you have them going vertical and horizontally, and then you use the kli that ends up weaving them together back and forth, whereby they overlap each other and stay shung. So let's say a thread snaps, you just tie it together. This way it goes straight, you have the string go the whole way through, you tie it together and allow for the O-ring. So that's where kosher was relevant. So the Gemara says, okay, great. So Amalei Rava, Tirtzas kosher. You've explained why you have a case of tying. If a thread snapped, you just tie it together. But Matir, Ma'iklamemra, where do you ever have untying that Matir is necessary? Techitem, if you're going to tell me, Dimas Ramile Tre Chute Kitre, Bade Hadade, Shari Chad, Vekatechad. So let's say you have two threads near each other, and you tie both of them. So what you do is, you tie both of them, and now, this way you have the string, the thread going across horizontally and vertically, they're all tied together, wherever it snapped, and then after you weave it together, now what happens if the two ties, two knots are next to each other, and after you weave it, you're going to have a little bulge in the cloth now, because there are one knot, that by itself is small, you don't notice it, but if two knots are next to each other, it's going to be very noticeable in the cloth, so therefore what you do is, before you weave it, you tie the two threads separately, it's called line one, line two, line one is snapped, so you tie line two snaps, you tie line two, you weave it together, after you weave it, you leave one tied, because you want to keep it firm, but the other line you can untie, it won't fall apart, and this way it won't be noticeable. So the Gemara says, "Hashta lefnei melech basar adam ein osim kain." If you wouldn't do this, you wouldn't, tie and untie when making clothing for the king, a regular basar adam lefnei melech melech makadosh baruch hu osim. Would we do this in front of makadosh baruch hu to tie it together, snap the string, and then untie it and have a little bulge in the cloth? Certainly wouldn't be so covetic to building the Mishkan for Hashem. Ella, what's going on here? Nothing to do with the cloth. If something snapped, it seemed that they would take a new thread and start from the beginning. They wouldn't tie any of the threads together. Ella, Amar Rava, Vitei Ma'aleh Zei Rabbi Eli, Shekein Tzidei Chilazon Koshin Umatirin. When it came to setting up the trap to catch a chilazon, which Rashi defines as a small fish that would come up every 70 years, they'd used to make the tcheles. Tcheles was necessary for dyeing parts of the Mishkan, and therefore they had to sometimes expand the netting and close the netting and fix the netting, so tying and untying was very common for capturing, and therefore it was necessary for the Melechas Mishkan, and that is the source for kosher in Matir in the Mishkan. Let's finish off in two more lines, we'll stop here. Now Tofer Shtei Tfios, one who sews two stitches would be Chayav Chatas as well. V'halo Kaimer, by tying two stitches, that doesn't remain. If you take two threads, you tie two stitches, they're going to very easily unravel. So it has to be a Tfira Shakayama. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Yochan, Hu Shekashim. Making two stitches that will easily unravel won't be a Mlacha. But if you tie two stitches and you also do Kshira at the end to make sure the stitching remained, that would be the violation of Tofer. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue with these Sugyas tomorrow morning. Everyone have a wonderful day.